Brel. Right.
Let's do it.
Let's do this.
Yeah. We're both getting it in the neck, so we need to...
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Yeah.
We could do with a rapid New Year show.
Yeah. We could always come back and do it if you wanted to. Never know.
I haven't really got another good time, really. Let's just blast it. We can do it.
I say blast it. We'll not like race, but we'll kind of not dwell.
Not dwell. Not linger too much on a game.
Yeah.
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 That's going to be taxing for Sam.
It will.
Okay. Oh, I'm just recording because I stopped. Yep. Yep. Recording.
So it turns out you're recording nothing from the last.
Oh, no. It's fine. I stopped it all.
Oh, that's odd. I forgot to press record.
I do hope there is something there. Hope and pray. Hope and pray, everyone. 3, 2, 1. Hey everyone, Joel in the editing room here. Just like to apologise for this episode. For one, this is my second edit. I lost the first edit. It was meant to go out today, which is New Year's Day, and I lost it, so I've been frantically re-editing to get it up. I don't know what happened to the first one. Don't ask me. Something, it just gone. Right, but so that's it's all sorted. So, I just apologise the... quality of the episode is not great. One, it's a bit rushed. We already recorded a episode, the Christmas one, and then we were trying to do this one. We've done before and it worked out. It was fine, but this time there was a bit of time constraints and pressure from other halves that it just didn't seem to flow as well as I would have hoped. It seems a bit rushed. Sam does drop out halfway through, and then he will return to do his final game. A bit of a podcasting editing magic going on, so that's what basically happens. He's gone, and he'll be back again just to do that. And Lewis's audio becomes a bit more rubbish because I'm recording the Skype channel, and for some reason the quality got a bit worse and worse. So. I've tried to clean it up as best I could. I've done the best job I could on it. And I hope it's alright. Yes, listen through. Welcome everyone, my name is Joel Wright, I'm the host of Devon Dies the Podcast, and this is episode 43, and this is our new year, new show. I don't know how it's going to work.
Woo!
And this show is all about our favourite games of 2017 so far, because we've not played them all. Joining me on tonight's show again, it's...
Sam Freeman.
And Dr. Lewis Jones.
Yep. Third time lucky.
Yes.
Now means he's a permanent part.
Dr. Lewis Jones. Oh, gosh.
Yeah, clear that calendar.
Part of the furniture. Yeah. Do you have another 5 hours on a Monday evening? Yeah, probably. Let me ask my wife.
That'd be a no, then.
Turns out I don't. No, I don't.
Yeah, so hello, everyone. Thank you for joining us. As highlighted, this is going to be our show talking about our favourite games of 2017. We've got about 13 categories I've counted so far. They keep getting added on, so hopefully it's not going to be any more. Basically, it's our opinions on these games. We've not played every game, and I think even the Dice Tower has said now that they are struggling to play every game that's been released in 2017. So, we gave it a good crack, I think. We did play a lot.
I had 40 games that were new this year that are on my list, so I thought that was pretty good. Well, 40 out of the 1,000.
I've already just started with that board game stats app.
So good.
Come out with great stats like, 40 new games this year.
Oh yeah, I got the message today saying, "Oh, can you send me what we've been playing together?" Kind of thing. It's like,
yeah.
Seven photos later of screenshots of my phone. It's like, there you go.
Yeah, it was very useful.
But yes, it's been actually a really bumper year, isn't it? I think every year is just getting stupidly more and more busier with new games coming out. But it's actually been a really good year, I think, of good games.
Yeah, I'd say so.
Do you think so? Because I was going to say, I think there's been a huge volume, but there's not been that many, you know, really, really good games as well. It was kind of my feeling.
I found this list easier. I thought this year was easier to make my list than last year. I think, and maybe, because it's weird, because I think 2015 I thought was an awesome year. And then last year I didn't think quite lived up to it. But then it's like one of those weird things where I had expectations for last year which weren't met because of 2015. Then last year wasn't as good to me in my mind, but 2017 was an improvement because of my lower expectations due to the previous year. So maybe that was an impact on it. I don't know. But I certainly feel like I've played a lot more games this year that I've enjoyed.
Well, I struggled. I just looked through and I was like, this is all new. It is Cult of the New on my list, really. There weren't many. As we get into the first category, it was just a real struggle to say what was old that's on my list that I've not spoken about. Like Through the Desert, I played already. That was played last year. But like this year, I was just like, what was old? And I really struggled. I think it was just Cult of the New all the way with me.
The problem I had is that I kept on coming up with really good games that I had played and gone, oh yes, that'd be perfect for this category. And then realizing that I think I'm just playing catch up or something from 2015 by the sound of it. and so I kept on finding, I had to double check on BGG. I was like, when was that actually released? I was like, oh no, that's 2015 or 2016. And so there's a couple just missed out right at the end of 2016. I know Mechs vs. Minions, I wanted to get in there somewhere, but it was last year, wasn't it? I remember.
Yeah. I think, like, last year when we'd done this was our top five played games of 2017, so it could have been, you just played it in, no, 2016, sorry. So we'd done it, like, if you played it that year, and it was new to you, it was in. I think by the looks of this now, we're sticking to what's been released of 2017. So... But we're going to start off with the first category. I might have some kind of intro music or something like that. But it's Better Late Than Never.
So I'm getting the intro music. So carry on.
All right. I don't think I could use that because it sounds like Mario.
Does it?
It did sound like Mario.
I think that's just the quality of my singing now.
All right. Anyway. it's the best new game to me of last year.
Or previous to this year.
Yeah, previous to this year.
Yeah. So it's like the old top fives, isn't it? it's like the old top fives that we're doing. It's the new game to you this year that but didn't come out this year.
Yeah. I really struggled on this category because I looked through my list and I think I had three, but none of them really stood out. I think there's Manhattan Project and another one on there. And they just didn't all stay out. So I picked this one, which is City of Spies. And it was actually, I played it with Nick at Tuesday Night Group. And it stood out to me for how brain-burning and how much thinking needed to be doing it. You were taxed all the way through this game. But it was enjoyable because it was making you be that cerebral with it. That it was actually really enjoyable. You were trying to think ahead of your opponents and trying to like outwit them, just to try and it's like area control more than anything as well, which is another weird thing because at first it didn't look like that, but you're just trying to control different sections of board that's put out, but you're trying to second guess what your opponents are doing and how they're going to play. I just remember it for that, how much my brain hurt afterwards. But in a good way. I really enjoyed it in the end. So it was City of Spies.
Cool. Yeah, mine was one that went very much against my expectations. It was Stockpile. And
so that's a corker, that one.
Yeah, and I'm not really... I always say I'm not much of an auction or bidding style game fan, but actually, to be fair, I've found I've enjoyed things like Ra and Modern Art and stuff as well. So maybe I should not think that way anymore. But Stockpile was certainly one that stood out to me, and it's, I quite liked the almost Coloretto style kind of placing of the cards to, you know, your stocks down the thing, and then you've got to sort of take your punt as to which one you think is going to have the best stuff in it, and then the adjustment of the what the stocks and shares are going to be worth at the end of each round as things move around. And I just found it a very dynamic and actually very quick game to play. I really enjoyed Stockpile, and it's one that I'll happily play once more.
Yeah,
and
yeah,
you get to be Donald Trump in it as well. So it's always...
I don't know if that's a good thing or not.
Yeah, guaranteed win if you're Donald Trump. Whether you're right or wrong, you still win.
All right, let's get off the political side and on to a more fantasy side with Lewis.
Yes, so this one, I was pleased this category came up because this game is probably was one of my favourite games that I've played this year. My favourite new game that I've played this year. It was a Kickstarter that I got from the second Kickstarter, because it's the second edition that they've just done, and that is Elder Games' Catacombs, which is a dexterity-style dungeon crawl, for those that don't know it. It's essentially, you're doing a dungeon crawl, but instead of rolling dice or doing skill checks, you're sort of physically flicking your little character disc sort of around the board, which is kind of really nice, got really great artwork around the dungeon, and sort of taking out the all the bad guys who are controlled by sort of the overseer kind of player. I've been getting into dexterity games quite a lot over the last few months, and this one just seemed to tick a lot of boxes. It's really, really, really good fun. I think there's great levels of sort of strategy and depth to it. There's kind of a base kind of way of sort of leveling your characters by sort of buying new items. So it sort of introduces that kind of concept. And it's one that sort of younger kids seem to have picked up, and I've played it with some quite young kids, and they absolutely love it. I think it's a really, really good game. I think.
Cool. So that was our Better Late Than Never games, and nice little spread there, I think.
Yeah, covering lots of things.
Yeah. So next up is Shiny Shiny, the best components and or artwork. Now, mine is a bit of a toss-up between the two, because I've got one that I like for components and I've got one that I like for the artwork. So I'm going to make them brief. My favourite components this year were from Manhattan Project Energy Empire. Not only do they have really cool custom dice, which I always like, but they had those realistic style resources that you normally find in Stonemaier games. So in this case, it was like these really funky little heavy oil barrels and plastic cubes to represent plastic. Well, plastic to represent plastic. That was easy. and stuff like that, basically. So you got these little kind of iron girders that are all painted silver and stuff. And it's all just really lovely to look at and to play with. So full marks for that one. And for artwork, it was a Kickstarter release that I received earlier this year that we talked about a little bit, called Planetarium. It's got some of the nicest card art I've ever seen in a game, let alone this year alone. I'm a big space theme or, you know, science theme junkie, and Planetarium in particular just really stood out for how the artwork kind of brought what was a slightly more abstracted kind of game to life as a full game for me. So those are my two favourites for Shiny Shiny.
Yeah, I haven't played the Manhattan Project yet. So, but Planetarium, yeah, good artwork. Well, mine and Lewis's actually collide, don't we?
We picked the same game.
And that we is did. Dice Forge.
Yeah, I wonder if it's for the same reasons.
Well, everything really. I mean, you go from the card art and the board art mm-hmm. is superior. It stands, yeah. It pops, really mm-hmm. pulls you in. The dice as a component, superb.
Yeah.
The only quibble I wish they were a little bit more weightier. You pick them up thinking they're going to be nice and weighty, and they're actually quite light. And it disillusions you, I think, a little bit. But that's a little minor quibble. But like the sides pop on and off quite easily, and there's no damage to them. People think, oh, it's going to ruin my dice doing. No, don't worry about that. And the one big thing that stands out, the insert. The insert's best inserts I've had. Nothing moves. You put everything away properly in that. Nothing moves. You could shake that around and turn it on its side. Nothing will be moved out of that because it's just so tightly packed, but not enough that you can't get it out again. It's just enough to be taken in and out quite easily. So everything about that game just works, and the game's pretty good as well.
Yeah. I mean, the thing that really made me put it down was specifically the artwork on the board and the cards, because I mean the theme is actually pasted on.
Yeah.
And if it wasn't for that artwork, then you know I think actually I probably would have disliked the game significantly more. I mean, I think the game's pretty good, but I think I would have been more noticing this sort of really pasted on theme. But actually, that artwork, some of the best artwork I've personally speaking, some of the best artwork I've seen in a game. That's something that kind of style really appeals to me. That slightly cartoony fantasy type kind of look, and I just like the colours really nice, and everything just sort of looked really good. And I think that it really actually created a fair bit of theme and atmosphere when you're playing the game. And I just think that's a remarkable achievement for what is a very, very pasted on theme. I mean, you could have pasted on absolutely anything onto that game in terms of theme. But I think the artwork just makes it what it is.
Yeah, definitely. So, yeah. So that was a shiny.
shiny.
Category. It's all in the setting. Basically, theme and setting. Our games are the best theme and setting. Lewis, do you want to go first?
Yes.
Oh.
So I picked.
I wonder where you went this.
Hello?
You just suddenly went bang in, and I was like, oh.
Oh, right. Okay. Sorry. So I picked a game that was released to Essen, and it was a game that I literally played one game of and then knew that I had to buy straight away, and not 100% for the gameplay, which I do think is quite good, but purely for the kind of the feel that you get when you play the game. And the game I picked was Photosynthesis. And I think it's absolutely brilliant. It really brings you in. It's so original. It sets you up as you are a species of tree, and you have to make yourself the successful species of tree in the forest. And it's such a really appealing game. I don't know if it's because there's lots of green on there, but it's just when we were playing it, I just felt so relaxed and. And it was just really tranquil. It was a very zen game. And you know, the game itself is a kind of, you know, a relatively light economic game, but with a quite clever mechanic in that the kind of sun moves around the board, and you kind of plant your little trees, and if there's trees in the way between you and the sun, then you don't get light, which is your kind of energy. But so there's a lot of strategy there in where you plant your trees and how you do it. And if you grow higher than another tree around you, then you can shadow more of them, but also get above the trees that are shadowing you. And it's a really clever, nice little game. But it's more the sort of just the look of it was just so appealing, because you get these sort of 3D cardboard trees that kind of slot together, and so you kind of see your what was an empty board becomes this sort of forest growing in front of you, a tree sort of getting taller and taller and sort of spreading out sort of across the kind of forest, and every player's got a slightly different tree, and they all just kind of blend together to make this sort of really nice forest, and it just feels. I kind of really believed I was a tree. I was at one with nature.
Yeah, that this is a game that could have gone in several categories for me, but yeah, I've only played it the once, and I need to play it one more to get some more feel out of it. But no, that's fine. My second game, my game for setting and theme is Dinosaur Island. Now, at first, I think both me and Sam put this game down as like, oh, look at the graphics, look at the art. It can't do as good a job as what we're expecting it to do, but it actually works as a theme park building game that features dinosaurs. You do several sections. It's like four phases, and you actually do feel like you're building your theme park as you go up through this, and you're creating dinosaurs, and you're trying to balance, like, what should I get this T-Rex in? But it's going to send my, like, I need better security to hold it in, because if I don't have good security, it's going to get out and eat my visitors. Actually, I get my money before they get eaten. Is that not a bad thing? At least I've got the money and blah, blah. And you're kind of trying to balance things up and get the best out of it. And it's really a fun game. Every game I've played so far, I've enjoyed it. And I'm really glad I actually picked this up. I'm actually gutted I didn't back it on Kickstarter in the end, because I really want the extra stuff. Because you get one sort of dinosaur, the Triceratops. In the basic version, in the Kickstarter version, they give like six different types of dinosaur as miniatures. You get lots of dinosaurs to build, but yeah. as representing them as miniature meeples on your park, it's just Triceratops models. So I kind of wish I had that, and there's lots of extra stuff that came with it. But hey ho, maybe I'll be able to pick one up from Fleabay or somewhere like that once they come down in price. Because they are asking extortionate money for the deluxe box at the minute. So, yes.
Sam. Very good one. Yeah, I like Dinosaur Island. That was a good pick. But I went for Gloomhaven. Now, we've only played it a couple of times. So it's, you know, I don't feel like I can quite do it justice theme-wise. But quite honestly, you look at the size of the box, and you've already heard in the previous episode how many cards are in the damn thing. There's just so much stuff. And
there's about 60 cards, isn't there?
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, it'll cost you £2 to sleeve every card. there's so much stuff in that box. And the way you can, even though we've only played a couple of sessions and played like something like three or four settings, you can see already that it's a really well fleshed out world. And it does feel like an RPG computer game as a board game. And those are the ones you can really get your teeth sunk into. And in this case, it's kind of you kind of unlock the map locations on the board. And then, you know, in our first or second mission, we kind of unlocked a sort of side quest thing that you can go off and do instead. And as you go to and from the city, you kind of get random encounters. And the stories themselves all kind of interlink at some part or another. So I'm sure as we play it more, eventually we'll unlock even more of the theme, but quite honestly, it's the scale of the thing is obvious right from the start, and I'm looking forward to finding out more.
Yeah, me too. I have to get a Gloomhaven page going again for the new year.
Yeah, absolutely.
So that was the All in the Settings. That was our pick for All in the Settings. On to Safety in Numbers. So the best five or more player game, this is instead of the best two player category like most other lists have. And I will go through first with mine. It's Ethnos or Ethnos or however you want to say this. I actually have only played this once, but once is all you need to know that it's actually quite a good game. And it's very simple, like Ticket to Ride simple. It's area control. It has like different races in it. It's kind of like Small World in a way. That's like quite a few different races that you can mix in, and it's basically draw cards up, and then when you want play cards down to then put your token out on the map to try and gain control of that area and gain more victory points than your opponents. And it's actually that quite simple. The races change up how each game plays. So you're mixing how many races there is for how many people are playing out of so many that's in the box. So it's all quite a random variety. And I think it could work with 2 to 6 players that it says it could quite well. So
yeah, that was... I liked Ethnos. It was again. It's one of those kind of pasted on theme type ones. It definitely wouldn't have been a contender for the previous category, but it is a very quick and simple game to play, and I actually really enjoyed it too.
Yeah,
only played it the once, but certainly liked it, and I'd certainly play again.
No, definitely.
Go on then, Lewis.
Yes. So my one for the higher number one was the game that should have won Spiel des Jahres. What was it? What won it? Was it King Domino?
Yeah.
It was that game's fine, but mildly average. And whereas this one, it was truly innovative, great new concept. People, again, I've played with people of all ages, and they all absolutely love it. Always causes a great laugh. Can be quite challenging, but you know, you can really set the difficulty level and sort of mess about with it. And that's Magic Maze, and a great co-op game. You're all on the same team, and the theme is a little bit odd in that you are in your kind of fantasy characters who have been transported into sort of our dimension, and your special items that you need to get yourselves back to your dimension are
it's gone,
shopping mall. Hello, am I still here?
Yeah, you went out a bit. Yeah, you still there?
Oh, sorry, that's probably I think that was just my computer falling asleep as I was droning on. And you're basically in a shopping mall, and you have to steal your items back that were stolen from you. It's a clever game. You're all working together, but the thing, and you're all controlling all the characters. But the interesting thing about it is you can only move the character in a certain way. So you could say only move the character north, whereas your friend can only move it east and south and west, and there's a few other bits you can do. But you're not allowed to talk. And it's all in real time with timers, and you've got to try and, you know, get your characters out into safety and to steal your bit. And it's just really fun. And there's some really like quite tongue in cheek little fun bits that come out of it. And I really enjoy it. And I think it's a brilliant game, and it should have won Spiel. Yeah.
Very much a matter of opinion. We'll have to disagree on.
Sorry?
I said it's very much a matter of opinion. We'll have to disagree on.
Oh, really? Do you not like it?
I hated that game so much. Really? I really don't like real-time games for a start. That didn't help at all.
And it's co-op.
Yeah, and it's co-op, which I really don't like either.
You don't like co-op either?
Yeah. I mean, I've got the concept of it all, but it just felt like one of those. Essentially, it was just like you're all kind of watching, and then eventually someone goes bang, bang, bang with the thing, and then you go, oh, God, oh, me, okay. And it... I mean, I got the idea of it, and I think it's one of those things where it's if you're in the right group.
What you mean is you're not very good at it, is that? What?
Yeah, well, probably. Yeah. Plus, it was like late on the first day of expo, which didn't help. But I think it's one of those things. If you're in the right group at the right time, then it's going to be fun, like you said. But for me, it's just it's not one that I'm, because of that first impression, I'm just not going to go back to. But anyway, I don't want to poo-poo yours. Sorry. So it's good. So it plays up to 8, doesn't it?
Oh yeah.
That's the whole point of this category,
Exactly, yeah. And I was going to say, a significant amount of my gaming decisions and purchases come from the fact that I play a lot of games with my family. You know, that they like kind of the kind of action, kind of real-time things. Mm-hmm. And also, co-ops go down very well because my family complain that otherwise I always win, so they like to be on the same team as me.
Yeah, it's all fair enough.
I think, yeah. I mean, yeah, as I'm the only one who's ever read the rule books, because they refuse to read rule books, then I have a slight advantage. And then the other ones I was going to mention as well is obviously Elsewhere Games this year released on Kickstarter their Catacombs and Castles, which is kind of like a skirmish version of Catacombs, and one of the big criticism of Catacombs was that it was very one-sided. A lot of people feel that the overlord person playing against the other four players has a significant advantage and essentially has to kind of nerf the way they play a little bit so that it's enjoyable for everyone. Whereas Catacombs and Castles kind of in the kind of skirmish mode is kind of completely eliminates that because there are basically sort of pretty much identical characters that you can have on sort of both sides. So you can have identical teams if that's what you want, or there's a selection of characters. So you've all had the same selection. And if you didn't take that character, if you think they're really good, then well, that's kind of your choice.
Because I thought that was just a two player game.
You can play that up to eight players. You can play it four on four. Yeah.
Okay.
There's a point you can play it almost at any number because then you just divide up on each team, you know, by how many players on the team each of the characters. We played it two player and it plays very well as a two player, but it does go all the way up to eight as well. Eight's probably pushing it. I think it's probably got a sweet point at about six as its max. I think three on a team. It's pretty good. So that's the other one I wanted to mention.
All right.
Cool.
Sam?
Mine is, I'm going to cut to the chase. It is the second game in the AEG card crafting system called Custom Heroes. So in the first one, which is Mystic Veil, that's a deck builder. Custom Heroes is more like a trick-taking game, sort of crossed with Cluedo Uno style mechanic. So you're not trying to win tricks necessarily, but you are trying to clear your hand. So the first player to get rid of their hand wins the round, and the first player to win a round with 10 or more victory points in their collect in their score wins the game. The novel thing about it is that each of the core cards you've got. Essentially, there's a card in the game for every player numbered 1 to 10, and you deal them all out, and then you play around the table, just kind of going, first player might pick two ones, in which case the next player's got to pick either play two ones or two twos or two threes or two fours or whatever. You've always got to improve on a match or improve the previous player. The good thing is that you've also got these little card advancements, which are sort of acetate sheets with little modifiers on them. So you might be able to change a one into a three by playing a +2 advancement card on it, or another one that you can power up and it counts as two, even though you're only playing one card, that kind of thing. And you get a whole bunch of these as you're playing the game. So the worse you do in a previous round, the more of these you're going to get as a reward. And what it basically means is even though you're modifying a card, you don't get to keep that card. It just gets chucked into the pile, gets shuffled up, and someone else might get that card in the next round. And you can modify four modifiers to any one card. So you end up with these really super powered cards at the end of the game. And it's just a really fun, very relatively speaking, quick card game that plays up to six players. And every single play I've had has just been great fun. It's fun because if the player before you, let's say in that example, I play two ones and then Joel plays two ones as well, the player that goes after Joel misses a turn. So you can kind of really stitch people up by kind of preventing them from being able to play their cards out as quickly. And so it's really just quick and dynamic and really good fun and good artwork and everything. Just the whole little package it really works for me. So that's my pick for safety in numbers.
Yeah, it's really, I really enjoyed that. It's just trouble. Sometimes some people can get a bit stuck. They're looking at their cards and it's like, oh, that's a five as well. That's a five. I might have four fives here kind of thing. And it's kind of, when you start looking at your 10 cards, you're kind of sat there going, oh, so many numbers to try and compensate now because they've been modified so much. It's just can be a bit overwhelming a bit, but I don't know. That's just part of the game, I think. So, Custom Heroes is like Mystic Veil. It uses that system, if Sam didn't put that across. So, that was Safety in Numbers. Begging Bowl. So, the best Kickstarter is released any year, but was shipped this year and we received. I think that's how we worded it, isn't it?
Yeah, so either shipped this year or they were received this year. So, it might be ones that came out in 2000 that were released. You know, they may have funded in 2016, but they didn't turn up until 2017. Yep. Criteria.
So this was another struggle for me because I've got quite a few Kickstarters still outstanding and some of them should have been delivered now, but they've been delayed, of course. So I've got 12 projects outstanding still. Four of them should have been delivered before Christmas, but now they've been pushed back. They're either in transport or they've actually just been pushed back. Crysis is my pick. It was released. It was put out. I think it was put out last year, and I got it this year finally. And it's a really good worker placement game. There's not much more to say about it. You place your guys out. Everyone does all that, and then you do the actions in order to try and earn as much money as you can. Played it for quite a few times now. So yeah, that's Crysis.
Yeah, I've not played that one yet, so I'm looking forward to giving it a try at some point.
You want to go, Sam?
Yep, so mine is... I'm stuck between two. I was going to go Gloomhaven just because it is such an epic game and clearly one of the massive Kickstarter successes.
Mm-hmm. But you didn't actually back it on Kickstarter.
I didn't actually back it on Kickstarter. So that wasn't really one of the criteria, though. So I didn't think.
Oh.
But either way, I'm going to go with a different one, and I'm going to go with Near and Far from Red Raven Games, which is one I did back, and I have played a number of times now, I think five or six. Another campaign game I'm struggling to get finished. But again, it's just a really good production. It may not have cost cheap, but it's a really nice heavy box full of stuff, and really great production quality as always. The quality of the cards and the boards is great. It's got metal coins and all that sort of stuff. So yeah, that's got plenty of more legs in it for me. That's Near and Far.
Yeah, and happened to be the exact same one that I picked as probably one of my favorite Kickstarters from this year. The other one that I was trying to decide between was that or 878 Vikings, which is the kind of latest release from Academy Games. And so it's a bit tricky to pick between the two. 878 Vikings, bit of a light sort of war game, and I've already played a few games of it, but they seem to have gone down quite well. Nice components, and overall quite pleased with it.
Excellent.
Cool.
Chalk it up for Near and Far. Woo-hoo.
Yeah. So that's Begging Bowl, the Kickstarter games. Technical Marvel, a game with most impressive smooth mechanic, reworked mechanics that gel perfectly together. Oh, it's a mouthful. Sam, you might as well go with yours quickly because you've already talked about this.
Exactly. So again, it's Custom Heroes for me. I know that card crafting was kind of done with Mystic Veil, but I think this one does it much better or much more slickly for me. And I love the sort of blend of a trick-taking style mechanic game that uses that mechanic. And along with that, that's really it. It's just that kind of the fact that you're crafting cards that others might end up getting to use, but you get to use other people's that they've crafted and all that sort of stuff. It's just, it works for me every time I play it. And so Custom Heroes is my pick for Technical Marvel.
Yeah. Lewis, do yours, because I was going to pick this and then I changed my mind at the last minute.
All right, fair enough. So mine is a game that, although I thought of quite a few nominees for this one, but I kept on looking them up and none of them had actually come out in 2017, so I had to keep changing it. And I kind of settled on Clank in Space. The reason being is I wasn't a massive fan of the original Clank. I felt some bits were a little bit clunky. I didn't like how long things took when you sort of exited the if someone got in and got out and got something, it would take about, you know, another half a game or before they started. I feel like they really improved that in Clank in Space. I think they just made everything a bit tighter, and I think they got a few other bits with more sort of card combos and things like that. And I just felt it sort of all came together with a really great rework of what was already a good mechanic, but lacking that kind of polish. And I think Clank in Space really polished off that kind of genre.
Yeah, exactly my thoughts. I thought it really tightened up some stuff and made stuff flow a bit better than the original. Still like the original, but yeah, Clank in Space is a better a version. My choice that I changed to when I thought about it was Downforce. For the game, it was just a smooth racing game. It's quite simple. You play card and you play move the numbers along and move the cards along the exact numbers that's on the cards, and that's it. You can then just try and block people in and do something like that. It's just so simple, so smooth. And I just thought it just works in this and just works so well. It's just clear and precise. So yeah, I changed to Downforce.
Yeah, it's a really nice, elegant game, isn't it, Downforce? Mm. I know what you mean. Like, the mechanics are very elegant. I mean, I think I was absolutely awful at it. But I did appreciate the kind of simple with was a really quite deep and strategic game. It was clever. I liked it.
Yeah. So that's Technical Marvel. Next one, Picture Perfect. And I'll basically go for this. Picture Perfect is the game with the most tabletop presence, eye catching down at the pub. Mine is the Climbers. It's basically a big stack of wooden blocks, sits in the middle of the table, and you kind of looks like you're playing Jenga at first, but you're not. You're taking blocks out and moving it around and trying to get your little people to the highest point possible, and it really creates this kind of artistic sculpture in the end with all the colours and how you angle the blocks and things like that. But it gets really cutthroat and really tactical, strategic, how you're trying to get your character higher than your opponents. But then when people are in the pub and they're walking by and they're seeing that you're playing this, it's quite big presence. They stop and watch. So,
which looks like basically like children's blocks.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, no, and it's also got a really, really good really good game to it as well, hasn't it? That's what I was quite impressed. It's very similar to that building one with those white buildings.
Mm-hmm.
Joel?
Santorini.
Is it called?
Oh yeah.
Santorini. So it was really good. Yeah. I mean, in terms of table presence and eye catching, I went for Photosynthesis, which I've already talked about, the way you create that really, really beautiful sort of 3D forest on the table, really, really just sort of drags people over to come and have a look. And I think we were playing it in the cafe in Essen, and loads of people kept coming over and going, what is that you're playing? Mm-hmm. And it really is eye catching and, like I said, very original.
Yeah, that one looks fab. Well, they both look fab, but not as fab as Yamatai, which was my pick, which was one of the earlier games in the year, and it's the follow-up to Five Tribes from Bruno Cathala and Days of Wonder. It's fairly a bit more of a standard board game to the other two, but it's just got that typical Days of Wonder, you know, flair. It's got the colour and the wooden pieces and the cool components in the artwork, which just makes it really stand out for me. So that was my pick.
Mm. Do you need to move, Sam?
I'm not seeing that one.
I'm gonna have to get going pretty soon. So I'll let you read out the rest of mine as we go, because I'm gonna have to shoot. But you can go over the others as we go. But yep, cool.
So Sam had to jump out and because he had to vacate his bedroom and go to bed. And so we're going to move on and just talk about his, hopefully, a little bit if we know it. The next category is Surprise Mother Dicers, the game that caught you by surprise. You didn't want to play at first, but loved it in the end. And I'm going to start off with this, was Frog Riders. I wrote a review about this.
And it's awful.
It's not awful. It's brilliant. It brings the best bit of checkers where you're jumping over pieces and taking that piece. But those pieces, they're actually frogs, different colours, do different abilities. It's fun. It's simple, but it's really strategic. You look at the front box cover. It's awful. A good art, but it doesn't tell you, yeah, play me. It's quite...
And then you play it and it's awful.
It's not awful. And then the title doesn't really help. You get the pieces out. Pieces are all right and that, but once you get into it and say, oh yeah, it's just checkers and you do this and do that, and yeah, people get in. The kids love it. The wife enjoyed it very much, and nearly everyone I've played it with has enjoyed it. So that was Frog Riders. Sam's is Viral. I know it's a worker, it's an area control game where your disease is infecting the body and you're trying to do the most damage to the body over a few rounds. Looked really good. I love the artwork. I want to play this. Just haven't got round to it yet.
Yeah, no, I haven't played it either. But as I say, I think that looks really good. I'm not sure that'd be a surprise for me. my one was Dinosaur Island, actually. I can remember Joel picking it up at Essen. You went for Coaster Park, didn't you?
Yeah.
And then they were kind of nearly sold out of Dinosaur Island as well. And you're like, oh, go on, I'll just grab a copy of that as well. And I looked at the box and I thought the art looks bloody shocking. Mm. I thought the theme was going to be naff. It was going to be some sort of Jurassic Park ripoff. And I was just all a bit like, oh, not really sure about that one at all. But played it the other week with you, and actually it's a really, really fun game with some clever mechanics in it. I don't think so. There's kind of all these different stages where these sort of different sort of things happen that sort of help you sort of build up your park with new attractions or new dinosaurs or enclosures, and there's some sort of clever little bits in there, but I mean I wouldn't say it's the most sort of elegant of kind of coming together of different mechanics, but it works, and it does very well. It's fun. I mean, you're making a dinosaur park, your dinosaurs escape and eat the visitors, which is really annoying.
Yeah.
And there's a lot of really sort of tight, tough decisions about, oh, I really want to build another dinosaur, but oh, if I do that, then they're going to escape out of their enclosure and eat up my people who give me points, so I should probably not do that kind of thing. And you end up having to spend so much money on security. Who wants security anyway? I'm here to build a park, not deal with security. And it's just kind of fun, and it's quite tight. It develops quite well over the game. Initially the money's very, very tight, and then as the game goes on, you've kind of got all the, you're kind of looking at some things at the beginning, money's so tight, you go, how am I ever going to afford that? And sort of by the end of the game, you're sort of raking in loads of money and building loads of great stuff and developing really great fun new giant carnivores to eat the people who come to your park, as it turns out, not actually entertain them. And it's just really good fun. Really enjoyed it.
So that was Surprise Mother Dices. Our next category, not just for kids, the best game for kids, but adults can play it as well. Sam's is Memoir. I think I said that, something. This actually could have fitted into my Surprise Mother Dices, the previous catalogue, because it's a real simple card game. You lay it out in a 5x5 grid. It's kind of that pick two up and see if they match. You know that memory game that kids play? Mm. It's like that a bit, where you flip over a card, but you've got to try and match it either with the background or the character of the previous card someone flipped over. And if you get that right, then you stay in the round. If you get it wrong, if you don't match either the background or the character, you're out, and you're out for the round, and it keeps going until there's one person left, and once one person's left, they pick up a treasure card. And you keep doing that for 7 rounds, but the cards stay where they are. So that when the game rounds, you flip all the cards back down, and then you kind of have to remember where things was, and you kind of keep playing like that. It's so clever. It's so
hence the name.
Yeah, and it's really good. And I just picked it up, and I've been playing it with the kids and the wife. Claire loves it. She loves like cerebral games, memory games, things like that. And she smashed us. And the kids were actually just playing it just before it came out to record as well. They were setting up a game and playing it. So, yeah, that's Memoir. My game is Sticky Comedians. Picked this up from Essen. Was one of my games I wanted to pick up. It's just a stupid, silly game. You've got these really long, sticky rubber things that if you throw against a surface, they stick to it, if you know what I mean. It's one of those, and there's lots of little cardboard tokens that are insects on the table, and you throw it at them, and I believe I'm on my own. You throw it at them, and you're trying to grab a certain insect that comes along, and it it's whoever grabs the insect first and takes off wins. It's really fun. It's really silly. Gets quite vicious because people are trying to slap each other with these sticky things because you can try and grab it out midair. And the kids absolutely loved it, and so does us adults.
So my Not Just for Kids is the game that Joel, Mike, and I stumbled upon in Essen, and that is Boom Bang Gold, which is all a bit sort of action packed, sort of. And if you listen to the Essen podcast, you can hear more about it. And you sort of end up throwing in your little sticks of dynamite, flipping over bits, and it's a mad dash to grab it. And we all had great fun with it as adults, and kids really enjoy the mad grab as well.
Yeah, that's funny when we played at Essen.
yeah, it's a quite a good story around it, isn't it?
Yeah,
recommend you listen to the Essen podcast if you haven't.
Definitely,
it's quite funny how we found that game.
So we're actually shifting along now because it's actually quite late, and I think we're quite tired. So we're gonna just bomb through this. Next game is Belly Flop. The worst game played this year. Mine is Doom. It played it right at the beginning of the year. It was basically the fact the Marine seems more overpowered than the Overlord. It just seemed like a right struggle for the Overlord to even get anywhere near a kill, let alone kill six times. It just seemed virtually impossible. So I don't know if it's down to player numbers. We only played three people. I wonder if playing a full hog, which I kind of still want to do to see if it does work, but it just, it was depressing.
I'd like to give it up. Yeah, I know you really struggled with it, didn't you, as the Overlord. I'd like to play it again because I only ever played it as the Marines a couple of times.
What are you doing? Stop clicking.
Oh, sorry. Hang on. 2 seconds. Wait a sec.
I might as well carry on. Sam's is Belly Flop game is Quest for El Dorado, Magic Maze, and Dice Forge. He just didn't take to these. I can't understand some of them. I can understand Magic Maze. He's already spoke about that. El Dorado, I don't know. It was all right game. It wasn't that great, but I can say it. But Dice Forge, I don't understand him. But hey ho, everyone to their own opinion. Maybe he had a good reason why he did it.
Sorry. So my worst game of the year this year was probably without a doubt that ridiculous unicorn game that we talked a lot about on the Essen podcast. Truly, truly awful game. And I'm not suggesting this next game that I'm about to name is in the same league as that. In terms of awfulness, but I personally really struggle with a lot of area control games. I hate that kind of take that mechanic where everything that you've done for the whole of the game can just be wiped out with some ridiculously random stupid card that somebody happens to have drawn and you didn't. And it just, all that kind of business just really annoys me. And so that's why I very much struggled to enjoy The Godfather, The Godfather Corleone Chronicles, whatever it's the full name is. Truly, truly annoying, truly awful. Seemed that being first player seemed far too important, and it just, I just get frustrated playing a game where, as you know, someone can just knock away all of your work. And yeah, I just didn't like it at all.
No, it's all right. It wasn't great. we just done Belly Flop. The one that got away, the number one game you want to play, didn't manage to, again, only for 2017 releases. Mine is Azul. I could have played this at the Meeples Gaming Day a few weeks ago, and I just didn't get a chance to sit on the table and play it. Every time I did, I was like, something else happened or things like that. So I do want to play this. It's been hyped, things like that. And Outer Plano, I've got a copy and I've punched it. I just haven't played it yet. But
I was going to ask you if you played that yet.
No, it's just, I hear it's actually really long to play as well. So yeah, it's kind of put me off a bit. it's kind of like, well, this has got to be a fair full enough evening. And yeah, we need to learn the rules. So, don't know.
That'd be a good start.
Yeah, it'd be a good start, yeah.
I'm keen to play it, though. I'm keen to try it.
Yeah, yeah. Sam's was Ex Libris and Seventh Continent. I want to play Ex Libris as well. And Seventh Continent, I think all three of us have now backed this year, so...
Yeah, I backed it on Kickstarter, yeah.
So, yeah, that'd be one to play next year.
And mine is the much-talked-about Gloomhaven. I backed it on the Kickstarter and took forever to come and got all snarled up in Happy Shops. If you listen to our podcast, we talk a bit about it there.
Yeah. Well, at least you got it now. You've not missed it.
Well, yeah, yeah. Arrived today. I may well get a game before the end of 2017, although probably unlikely with Christmas looming.
Yeah. So that's second to last. This is our... We'll come back to that later. Started a campaign of a game, not finished it so far. Sorry, let's start. Started a campaign of a game and not finished it yet. Or played once, liked it, but not played it again. So mine, it's a bit of a sore one. Pandemic Legacy.
Was that a 2017 release?
No, I think it was released in 2016, but we only played it this year.
Oh, okay. All right. Yeah. We played it last year.
Did we play it last year?
Yeah. Yeah, wow. Yeah, that's not 2017.
Because we 2 years of not finishing this. This is terrible.
Well, it's been a year now, isn't it? It's been about a year.
We've got.
Didn't it come out about September?
Me and you are going to sit down and play this because I think Tom's out of the industry and.
Well, Tom's completely out, and Mike's uninterested.
Mike's a flaky so and so. So, yeah, maybe me and you just need to sit down and play it and finish it.
Yeah,
I want to see what happens.
Yeah.
So your
actual 2017 release.
Yeah, okay, so I mean, apart from Gloomhaven, which Sam was going to talk about, that's an ongoing thing. We've started it and then we've had a big lull since September of not playing it, mainly because trying to get four individuals from different family backgrounds together on one day is nigh impossible these days. So hopefully it's going to work out that we'll get back to playing a game soon. And then if I have to pick something, Charterstone. Started a game and it's with me, the wife and the in-laws, and it's just trying to now get back to a game. But we're hoping that Christmas time we're all together again. So we'll continue on our campaign.
Yeah, I'm really keen to play Charterstone at some point.
I picked up the recharge pack. So once I finished the first game... I'll probably see if you want to join in. Nigel wants to join in.
I'd be up for that, definitely.
So yes,
I do like a bit of Stonemaier.
Yes, the first game is really prologue,
hit and miss.
Prologue, you just need to play it to it's like a setup, and I think reviews coming out from people only playing it one time because they play the first game and that's it. And then excuses of, oh, there's no story, there's no campaign, or there's kind of a little bit of a campaign. And it's like, I don't know what people are expecting. The first game is a setup, then you play for it from there. And it really steps up the game two and game three and really starts.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, if I judge Pandemic Legacy on game one, I'd say this is just the same as Pandemic.
It is, yeah. So, it's ridiculous. I feel sorry for Christoph. But hey, you can't force people to change.
I never know. Maybe it'll be a slow burner.
Maybe. I think new releases, people playing it fully and more reviews coming out might help it. So,
yeah.
But apparently a lot of people played it at Essen and that, because they're already playing the first game, that was their opinion of it from that. So you can't have a opinion like that.
I mean, yeah, that's ridiculous.
So,
yeah.
Anyway, what's yours? Anyway. Come back to that later.
So mine is actually Near and Far. So I got that as a kind of campaign type game that I hope my wife and I could sort of go through and play. And you know, I absolutely love Above and Below, and I very much enjoy Near and Far, but it hasn't quite got the magic for me to want to keep playing through in the sort of campaign mode. I quite like a game of it, but for me, the campaign mode hasn't quite come off. Maybe it'll be, again, like I say, a bit of a slow burner. Maybe I'll come back to it at some point and get through it, but I don't really see it happening. I don't think the game is quite as good as Above and Below. A campaign version of Above and Below I'd have been all over. Near and Far, I like it. I mean, I don't want to say it's a bad game. It's just I can't quite get into the campaign version of it. And I'm hoping that Gloomhaven is gonna come and scratch that itch for a campaign that my wife and I can sort of dip in and out of and sort of keep playing and explore the world, and hopefully that'll be the
Shall I tell you the game on the iPad or iPhone, you can get Gloomhaven, I can't see what it's fully called now. Scenario Viewer.
Oh yes, so that's where you can't see what's coming in each room.
Yeah. Yeah. You just click on it to unlock the next stuff, which is quite good. Because it spoils it. You look in the book, it's like, oh, I can see what's coming.
Yeah. Is it expensive?
No, it's free.
Oh, free? Yeah. I'll probably get that then.
Awesome. And then to our last one, Game of the Year. Okay, so this is our Game of the Year, our personal favourite of all the games we played this year. And Sam, what is it?
Yeah. So, unlike you two that have gone, no spoilers, I'm not going to say anything, but I ummed and ahed about this one a lot. And as I said, I think it's a really good year for games. And despite my love for things like Clank in Space and Clank in general, despite how good I think Gloomhaven is and will be, I think my game of the year has to be Manhattan Project Energy Empire. As an all-round package, I think that's the one that I think is going to be an evergreen sort of game for me. I think we've talked about it before, but I just love the sort of blend of worker placement and set collection and management of resources and the component quality in the artwork. It all just kind of sits well with me, and every time I play it, I've really enjoyed it. It plays well two players all the way through to five players. It's a standout for me, for my collection and for this year, Manhattan Project Energy Empire.
Awesome sauce. And me and Lewis picked the same game again.
We did, didn't we? Little gem that we found at Essen.
So you want to do it then?
Yes. Yeah. So it was sort of going on the theme of I was being quite into dexterity games quite a bit this year and this one sort of came out except when I first saw it, really, and the game is actually really, really good, really family friendly, and really, really quite entertaining, and it is Meeple Circus.
Yes, so I mean, it's not come up before, but I mean, I wanted to say this. This is a surprise hit that I brought back from Essen. I was on the fence about pre-ordering it, and then I'd just done it because I was pre-ordering Charterstone at the same time. And
you were just pre-ordering every game at Essen.
Well, let's not go too far. But it was there, and I actually seen some good reviews, and people were really bigging it up, and I was like, okay, let's just stick it on there and see how it goes. So stuck it on there. We played it at Essen, loved it, played it, and I've gone in everywhere now, and I carry it everywhere with me. And the fact it goes to five players, which is a bonus as well. Could have gone in the category you had before with more players, but yeah, this is just great. It's quite simple in a way, and it's just good fun. Just laugh out loud, good fun. And the app's out. The app is finally out.
Oh, the app's come out now, is it? Oh, brill.
So I used it, and it all works.
That's nice.
So, yeah.
Fantastic, yeah. It's just such a fun game, isn't it? Like, it's just really silly. It's all a bit wild, and I just kind of really like it. It's the other game that I played when you got them at Essen that I immediately had to sort of pre-order or get my own copy. And I both Photosynthesis and Meeple Circus, I kind of ummed and ahed, like, oh, should I just pick up at Essen? And then I looked on Meeple's Corner and said, oh, it's so much cheaper on Meeple's Corner. I'll just get it. It'll be fine. And then I think that was probably a massive error, not anything against Meeple's Corner, but just because of how long actually when the games are released to Essen, how long it takes them to get sort of into general distribution. And I think I think Meeple Circus did a bit better than the publisher been planning. It's Mattergott, isn't it? Mattergott.
Yeah.
I think it did better than they've been planning because what they basically then had to do was they kind of basically sold out as far as I understand, and so now they're kind of having to run a reprint, and so it's sort of not going to be until January that I can get my copy, but luckily I've been surviving on your copy for the last couple of months since Essen, and it just works, isn't it? Like, I think, you know, there's a few rounds where, you know, you get more pieces and build these sort of bigger towers, and then there's the final round where you kind of have to do something as you're sort of building the tower, you know, either like saying a speech or drumming on the table or funny things. And I think when we first got it out, I think we were reading the rule book at Essen, and I think Mike and I think even you to some extent, Jill, were kind of a bit like, oh really, that looks a bit naff. But actually when you're doing it, it's just so much fun actually, and it does sort of add to the game, and you end up laughing quite a lot, and it just works, doesn't it? It's such a good fun game.
At Essen we refused to play the music, didn't we, because we were like, oh, there's an app, there's like stuff on the internet you can find, and we looked at and we played it, it's like, oh, we're not playing that in the cafe kind of thing. So we were just doing a 2-minute timer, but then you realize some of the third act stuff you need the music for it, which is quite funny because there's 2 minutes of music, and there'd be a cymbal, and then like someone might have to eat a sandwich between the first cymbal and the second cymbal, which is quite hilarious.
Yeah, like pretending to eat a sandwich, isn't it? Yeah.
And so but now I use the music all the time, even though it gets us kind of funny looks. It's just it adds to it.
But it's so funny because like it sounds so naff and explained. Like I can hear you explain it, I can hear myself explaining it. And, like if you explain that to me, I'd be going, oh gosh, cringe. Yeah. But actually playing it is actually really, really good fun. Yeah. Like really, really good fun. I mean, as I say, like, I mean, good enough to be, you know, my game of the year. So it's really quite impressive.
Definitely. I mean, another game that I really did consider was the Exit games. I played a few of them now. But because they're like one-offs, and like it's just, I don't feel I do that well with them. But apparently it's just standard. They're just so out of the box thinking. They really make you think, and you've got to think outside of the box half the time, or inside the box in some cases, just to think, like get past some of the clues. And I really like them. I've still got a couple more to play that I keep bringing out with people. But so.
Yeah, I mean, I've not played the exit games themselves, but I mean, I absolutely love an escape room type puzzle game. It's so much fun, and again, very accessible to sort of a wider audience as well. I think I've done a real escape room with some non gamers, and they had an absolute blast.
And that's it. Bro. That is our 2017 best games we've played so far. Roundup. So yeah, that's our personal opinions. Please take that with a grain of salt. We've not played everything, and probably still won't play everything of 2017.
Yeah.
But I'm looking forward to 2018. It's going to be another bumper year. Does concern me that the bubble will burst one day, but
we'll do it at some point. Yeah. But like I was saying, I know you think you guys think that this year has been particularly good, but I think there's been a small selection of very good titles, and then I think my feeling is there's been quite a lot of bump going on there as well. But you know, I think there's been there's still some, you know, the cream of the crop is still there. I think there's still a lot of good titles that are coming out.
Yes, yeah, definitely. There's already seen some hints on the horizon and new stuff, and probably be playing a ton more Colton new stuff.
So look forward to it.
Yes, definitely. And as I said, we've now been re-registered for another 3 years, so at the minute I'm not going anywhere for Devon Dice. Sam's still on board, maybe Lewis will still be back, and I'm hoping hoping to get the other Lewis back. He was going to join us, but stuff got in the way. So yeah, and maybe more guests will turn up in the show.
We have Michael's dulcet tones come back.
Maybe. Yeah. He was admired by a fan. He's saying
it was nice
to hear his voice on the show. So
yeah. Maybe everyone loves Mike's dulcet tones. I think he needs a regular feature that he can just do. Just like Mike's bedtime game section.
What was it? Mike thinks section.
Mike thinks. Yeah. Good evening.
Have you ever
time
wondered?
To go to bed? Yeah. Talk about the philosophy of game.
Yeah, I might have to do that.
I think it needs to happen.
Yeah, getting recording on a Thursday night, that'd be funny. Cool.
Yeah. Awesome.
All right.
Well, happy new year, everyone.
Thank you, Lewis, for staying up this late. And
yeah,
do,
no worries.
Do apologise to your wife.
Don't tell my patients tomorrow, it's fine.
It's not that bad, actually. It's only nearly 12 o'clock.
No. Yeah, it's not too bad at all.
I've had late nights.
Yeah, well, yeah. Well, happy new year to everyone.
Yeah, happy new year.
Hope you have a good one.
Yeah. And I will close out this show. So, Louis, and let everyone go to bed, which Sam has already done. Cough out.
Yeah.
There you go. That was episode 43 of the Devon Dice podcast. The best games of 2017, in our opinion, of course. I personally would like to thank every one of you for listening to each show we have put out. And even if you read the blogs and watch our videos, another big thank you. I don't know what more I can say, but thank you very much for sticking with us. Also, I had a big thanks out. I also would like to say big thanks to Lewis and all our other guests for appearing on the shows over the last year, 2 years. Their input is greatly appreciated. But I also like to big thanks to Sam for not only now being the second chair, it seems, on the show, but also his blog entries and his work he puts in on the website behind the scenes. For when it goes wrong, and that's mainly because it's my fault, I haven't had to ask him twice. He's there and he's sorted it out. So thanks, Sam, for everything you've done. I don't know how many more thanks I can say, but yes, thanks for everything you have done. Also, a big thanks to Christoph at Meeple's Corner for sponsoring the show over the last year or so. His input basically gives us review copies of games for us to review, to talk about, to mention. That is just so another great thing that's happened to the show, and I can't say enough. Buy all your games from Meeple's Corner. Great service and great selection. So yes, thank you, Christoph. Credits go to bensound.com for the music used in this episode. If you haven't done so already, you keep putting it off, please go along to Facebook page, Devon Dice Presents, and like us and do that, please. Also Twitter, Devon Dice UK, you slap us a like there, or what is it, follow? Yeah, follow at Twitter. I mainly tweet from that now, so practically everything I do about gaming, I'm using that. The blog page, there's a newsletter link basically once a week. If there's a new update, you'll be sent an email basically saying that you might have missed this. So just sign up, all we need is your email address. Don't be scared, we will not use it for anything else but sending you updates of any new blog entries or updates on the site. So go along there. And then also the guild on Board Game Geek. Maybe one of my New Year's resolutions this year is to be a little bit more active on there. So
and be a little bit more active all over it. So pop in and join the guild on that. That is number 2414. Okay. And that's about it. So I have been the host and editor and everything else of Devon Dice, the podcast blogging site. You can find me at Board Game Geek as the Press Monkey. And as I said, my Twitter is mainly now Devon Dice UK. So you can find me there. Sam being on the show, you can find him on Twitter, Spoon and Milk, and Board Game Geek as Eldurino. I think I said that right. And Lewis Jones, you can't really find him anywhere. Join us in episode 44 in a couple of weeks, where we will have a brand new episode of Devon Dice the Podcast. We have been your hosts for Devon Dice the Podcast. Goodbye, and remember, there's going to be 3 more years of this bullshit.
All right. Cheers, Lewis.
Bro.
I'll see
you. Cheers, mate.
Later on.
I'll see you. Are you coming Thursday?
I don't know at the minute.
Oh, yeah, you can't
are we
get,
talking about this
yet.
Thursday?
Yeah.
I might pop along.
Yeah.
The wife's working. I've got the kids. I'm out at a friend's all day. So I might pop in on the way back.
Yeah.
And then see. I don't know.
Cool. Flick, and then you're going to do that. And then the first person goes to do their move, and they completely stack their flick. And not only do they stack it, but they manage to get in the way of everyone else's possible ideal starting move. And it just kind of descends into chaos and all a bit of a laugh. And I think one of the key things about it with the dexterity game, though, is it's quite forgiving.
Yeah,
I think. One of the problems I had Flick 'em Up Dead of Winter was because the whole game was sort of set on a timer. It basically, if you messed up a shot, like all your actions were really, really important. And if you messed up a shot, you can screw up, but it's got that forgiveness where you can. It's not going to ruin your game, not going to ruin your night, and it's really good fun.
Yeah. So it was Flick 'em Up Dead of Winter.
No, what? Catacombs. as the Overlord, I'd like to play it again because I only ever played it as the Marines a couple of times.
What are you doing? Stop clicking.
Oh, sorry. Hang on. 2 seconds. What's that?
I might as well carry on. Sam's is Belly Flop game is Quest for Eldorado, Magic Maze, and Dice Forge. He just didn't take to these. I can't understand some of them. I can understand Magic Maze. He's already spoke about that. Eldorado, I don't know. It was a right game. It wasn't that great, but I can say it. But Dice Forge, I don't understand him. But hey-ho, everyone to their own opinion. Maybe he had a good reason why he did it. Oh, we're still recording. It looks like we're still recording. Yeah, we're still. 1 hour recording. Oh, I'm cold. Cold in my little man shed. Wonder if it's his wife. His wife's saying, come to bed. Stop talking. You said you'd only be a couple of hours.
Oh, can you hear me?
No.
Hello, can you hear me?
Yeah, I can hear you now.
Oh, did you hear me say anything?
No.
Oh. Oh, bloody hell. Don't know what happened there.
Well, you got a call, didn't you?
What's that? What? Oh, so you haven't heard me since all the way back then?
No. I thought you muted yourself.
What was the last thing you heard me say?
Well, I finished what I was talking about on...
Yeah, I could hear you the whole time. I was joining in.
Oh, were you? And then you got a call. Something rang. You said, oh, 1 minute. And then you disappeared. So I thought you muted yourself. And then...
Oh, God. Oh, yeah, I did. And I think I forgot to unmute myself.
And then I thought, oh, he's
talking along. I was talking along.
And I talked about Quest for El Dorado and Sam's stuff.
Yeah, yeah, you said that. Yeah, yeah. And I was making lots of comments about no accounting for taste and things like that. Yeah. Completely gone. Wiped. Muted myself.
You're not even recording it.
Self-censorship. I think I also made a couple of comments about... I made a couple of comments about your Doom as well. Did you...
I think
did
I
you
got
get a comment about Doom?
Yeah.
All right, okay. Good. Right. Anyway, so my worst game of this year. Oh yeah. Sorry. So my worst game of the year this year was